All right, time to dive deep into mold making. Looks like you've been getting into milling cutters, huh? Especially for those intricate designs.
Yeah, it's a whole world, right?
It is. Picking the right tool can totally change the game, you know? So we're going to help you sort through all the choices so you can create those amazing molds you've been dreaming up.
Absolutely. It's like having a secret weapon.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's start basic. What kinds of milling cutters are out there? And how are they different?
Okay, so it's kind of putting together the right tools, right?
Yeah, like a toolkit.
Exactly. So you've got your ball end cutters. They're like the go-to for those complex surfaces. And all the artistic details are kind of like sculpting knives, but for milling, let you get all those smooth curves and
Oh, I
patterns.
see. So, like, if I was doing that jewelry box, I've been thinking about.
That's the one. Ball end cutter would be perfect to nail those delicate details.
Okay, I get it. So that's for the fancy stuff. But then you've got the more heavy-duty stuff.
Yeah. Like the end mills.
Right, the end mills, those are for like.
They're like your workhorses for the flat surfaces, steps, grooves, all about precision with them, especially for the foundation of your mold.
Gotcha. So ball end for artistry, end mills for straight lines, precise cuts. What about really unique shapes? Like if you were doing a gear or something super specific.
Yeah, you're thinking about forming mills then. They're the specialists,
Ah, okay.
like designed to create precise arcs. Gear teeth, all those unique
So
shapes.
each one's like custom made.
Kind of. It's like having a tool made just for that one detail to guarantee that perfect shape every time.
Wow. And what about like the tiny details, like jeweler level stuff? I bet there's special tools for that too.
You bet. Micro diameter tools,
Okay.
masters of precision, but on a miniature scale,
Oh, wow.
ideal for tiny structures,
Wow.
engravings. They take your design to another level.
Like micro chisels.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the different types. But even within each type, there's the material, right? Like what it's made of. I imagine that makes a difference too, especially with all the different mold materials out there.
Oh, it's huge. Picking the right material for your cutter, it's like choosing the right wood for furniture.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Each material has its own thing, its own strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
For instance, if you're working with, let's say, a hardened steel, really tough stuff, you'll need carbide for its strength and wear resistance.
Carbide. Sounds tough.
It is, but it can be too much for softer materials, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's not always the best choice.
Right. If you need some flexibility working with irregular shapes, maybe high-speed steel is better,
Yeah.
more forgiving, and a lot of times cheaper.
Gotcha. So it's about that balance,
Yeah.
strength and flexibility. What about projects with corrosive materials? Like, I know you've worked with some tricky
Oh,
plastics.
yeah,
What
those.
do you do then?
Coated tools are your friend there.
Okay.
They have a protective layer. Think about like armor, Protects against rust, makes the tool last longer. Coatings like titanium nitride or titanium aluminum nitride, those are really good in tough
Well,
spots.
it's like giving your tools extra protection
Yeah.
for the really tough jobs.
Yeah.
Smart. Okay, let's talk size. I feel like this isn't just about being convenient. It's got to be important for precision, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right on the money there. Picking the right size is, it's like a balancing act.
Okay.
Impacts your precision, your efficiency, even how much the whole project costs.
Wow.
Imagine trying to like sculpt something intricate, but your chisel's too big, or you can't reach the corner because it's too small.
Oh, yeah, you need that just right size.
Exactly that Goldilocks size. Not too big, not too small.
Love that. So I'm guessing we're thinking about diameter and length for the cutter.
You got it. Diameter needs to be smaller than your tightest curves in the mold. Otherwise, you risk overcutting. Could ruin the whole thing.
Yikes. That sounds awful. And then what about the length? What should we be thinking about there?
Length is all about finding the sweet spot for how it works. If it's too long, it vibrates.
Right.
You get a rough surface, could even damage the tool. Too short, you can't reach those deep spots.
So another balancing act.
It is. Got to get that length just right so you can reach the depth you need, but without losing precision.
Sounds like there's an art to it,
Yeah,
picking the right size.
there is. It's part science, part experience, and part intuition.
Right.
But once you get it, you'll be able to pick the perfect tool for anything, any mold making challenge.
Okay, that's a great foundation. But now I want to get practical.
Okay.
Let's like walk through some examples.
Sure.
Say you're working on a mold with tons of curves, like really flowing artistic curves,
Okay.
like that decorative sculpture you mentioned?
Right, right. In that case, you'd be looking at a ball-end milling cutter, most likely.
Makes sense to get all those smooth, flowy lines.
Yeah, those rounded ends are perfect for that.
Mm.
Navigating all the detail and getting those lines just right.
Right, because you wouldn't want anything flat chopping those up.
Exactly.
But even with ball-end cutters, there's still, like, choices to make.
Oh, for sure.
Depending on the project.
Yeah, you got to think about the mold material itself, right?
Oh, right.
Like if it's something hard, like steel.
Right.
You'd want a carbide ball-end cutter.
Oh, okay.
For the strength, the wear resistance.
Because it can handle it.
Yeah.
Without losing precision.
Yep, exactly.
But what if you were using something less intense, like more delicate material?
Yeah.
Would you still go with carbide?
Maybe not. For softer materials, a high-speed steel cutter might do the trick.
Mm.
Gives you that good balance, strength, and flexibility. And it's, well, easier on the wallet, usually.
Right, right. Okay, so we've got the types of material. Now, size. I know we said Goldilocks, but how do you actually find that perfect size?
So when you're dealing with, like, intricate curves, you really got to look at the smallest radius in your design, I mean. The cutter diameter needs to be smaller than that radius.
Got it.
Otherwise, you end up cutting into those details.
Oh, I see.
You lose all that precision you're working for.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like trying to paint something detailed with a giant brush.
Yeah. You'll just get a blob.
Right. Okay, so let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
What if your mold has more flat surfaces and sharp edges, maybe something geometric?
Oh, then you're in end mill territory.
Okay.
Perfect for those precise planes, sharp corners.
So ball end for curves, end mills for straight lines, geometric stuff. And the same material logic applies, right?
Pretty much, yep. Carbide for the tough stuff, high-speed steel for the more forgiving materials. And don't forget about the coated tools if you're worried about wear and tear.
Right, right. Those coated ones. Always better safe than sorry, especially with good tools.
Definitely.
Speaking of choosing the right length, I know they can be tricky.
It can be, yeah.
Any tips on figuring that out?
Think about how deep that cavity is that you're making. You need the tool to reach the bottom, no problem.
Okay.
But not so long that it gets all shaky and vibrates too much.
Right.
Right.
Because that can mess things up. It's like trying to write neatly on a bumpy bus, you know?
Exactly. That's a great analogy. All that vibration can really mess up your surface finish, make it less accurate, and sometimes even damage the tool itself.
So Goldilocks length is important. But what if you're not sure? Is it better to go a little longer or shorter?
You know, if I'm ever unsure, I go a bit shorter.
Yeah.
You can always do more passes to get the depth you need.
Right.
But you can't really fix it if it's too long and starts causing problems.
That's a great point. Better to take your time, get it right.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what about those tiny, hard-to-reach spots?
Yeah, those are fun.
The details that make you go cross-eyed.
That's where those micro-diameter tools come in handy. They're so small, they can get into those tight spaces.
Yeah.
Create incredibly precise details. It's like miniature sculpting tools.
It must be like doing microsurgery on the mold.
It does take a steady hand, that's for sure. But the results are amazing.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, even with those tiny tools, material still matters. Carbide's often your best bet.
Okay.
Especially if you're working with harder materials, that'll put stress on the cutter.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've covered, like, all these scenarios, right?
I think so.
But what about when things go wrong?
Uh-oh.
What are some common mistakes people make? With choosing cutters, I mean. And how can they avoid them?
Well, one of the biggest ones I see is people using a tool that's just too big.
Oh, yeah.
They want to get it done fast, but remember, that diameter needs to be smaller than your smallest curves.
So when in doubt, go smaller.
Most of the time, yeah. You can always do multiple passes with a smaller tool.
Right.
But if you overcut with a big one, you can't really fix that. It's like that saying, measure twice, cut once, right?
Exactly. What other mistakes do people make?
Another one is using the wrong tool for the material. That can cause all kinds of issues. Like trying to use high-speed steel on hardened steel, you'll wear that tool down super fast.
Okay.
And the finish won't be good.
So it's about matching the tool to the material, basically, how hard it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. And remember those coated tools for corrosive stuff?
Right, right. Okay, last question before we move on.
Sure.
What's the best way to know you've chosen the right tool? Is there like a checklist or something?
Oh, yeah, totally. First, really look at your mold design. What are the main shapes, the features, any super tight curves or hard to reach spots?
So get a good picture in your head.
Yep. Then you think about your mold's material.
Right. Hard, soft, all that.
Exactly. And then you can narrow down your tool choices based on what we talked about.
Makes sense.
And, you know, don't be afraid to do some research. Look up what other people are using for similar projects.
Yeah, there's tons of info out there. Online, books, all that.
Exactly. Learning from what others have done can save you a lot of trouble. And if you're still unsure, just ask. Ask someone with experience. Most mold makers are happy to help, you know?
Oh, that's true. People love sharing their craft.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's time we talk about something I'm really into.
What's that?
How these tool choices actually impact the quality of your mold.
Ah, yes, the nitty-gritty.
Right, like how to get that precision, that detail that separates a good mold from a great one.
This is where it gets exciting. We're talking about real craftsmanship here.
I know you've got some great insights on this.
I do.
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked about all the types of cutters, what they're made of, how to pick the right size. But how does all that actually, you know, affect the final product? What about that detail, that precision that makes a mold really stand out?
You got it. It's like the difference between, you know, a sketch and a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Every choice you make with your tools, it has this ripple effect, you know, not just on making the mold, but on how good the final piece is going to be.
Right. So how does like the type of cutter affect things specifically?
Think about those details we talked about. Smooth curves, crisp edges, all that. A ball end cutter, that rounded tip,
yeah.
That's how you get those organic shapes.
Oh, okay.
Those flowing lines. It's like using a calligraphy pen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Instead of a regular marker, you know.
Yeah.
It's all about that flow and that precision.
Right, versus if you used like an end mill on a curve, you'd get all those
facets. Fast. So instead of that smooth line, look more machine made, you know?
So the wrong tool could actually ruin the like the artistic part of it.
Totally. And it's not just how it looks either. It can affect how the mold works. Like imagine trying to do a precision part,
right,
but you use an end mill instead of a forming mill, which is like made for those shapes.
Yeah, and the mold would be off just a little.
And then every piece you make from it
would be messed up.
Inconsistent, not accurate. That's why all these details matter, you know?
Precision is everything.
It is. And your tools are like the foundation of that.
Now, what about the cutter material itself? How does that affect things?
It's all about matching the tool to the job, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about how hard the mold material is. If it's something soft, like aluminum,
right,
high-speed steel is perfect. Strong enough, sharp enough.
But for the hard stuff.
Like hardened steel.
Yeah.
Got to go with carbide for the wear and tear.
No, because it can handle it.
Yep. If you use the wrong material, dull edges, chipping, could even break the tool.
Right.
And all that affects the mold.
A dull tool will mess up the surface.
Right, yeah. A sharp tool gives you a smooth, almost polished surface.
Right.
But a dull one, scratches, burrs, all that.
Like you're using the wrong sandpaper.
Exactly. You want that fine finish. And all those little imperfections, they get transferred to your final piece. That's why good tools are so important. And keeping them in good shape, it's an investment, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense. You get what you pay for. So consistency, how does size play into that?
Goldilocks again. Too big and you overcut, lose the details.
Right.
Too small, you might not reach deep enough. Or you got to do so many passes, you increase the chance of messing up.
So how do you find that sweet spot?
Well, it starts with understanding the design and the material, like we talked about before, the curves, the depth, all that. Then you can pick a tool that fits.
So planning is key.
Definitely. And those micro diameter tools, don't forget those, for the tiniest details.
They're like the finishing touches, huh?
Exactly. So the big takeaway here is that all these choices, they matter for how good your molds are going to be. Everything affects everything else. The type of cutter, the material, the size.
It's all connected.
It is. You got to think about the whole picture.
Like a holistic view of mold making.
Yeah. And the journey doesn't end here, right?
All right.
Take what you've learned. Try it out. Experiment, keep getting better.
That's what it's all about. Using these tools, this knowledge, to make your ideas real.
Exactly. And remember, with mold making, the only limit is your imagination.
Well said. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us into the world of milling cutters.
My pleasure.
We hope you learned something that'll help you make some really amazing molds. And to everyone listening, happy creating.